young hero captures the hearts of his people. Had there been newspapers in Jerusalem in the year 33 AD, approximately the year in which Jesus died, this certainly would not have been the headline. On that dark, yet very good Friday, when Jesus died, the horrible death of the cross at the hands of the Romans, no one thought him to be a hero. No one thought, as they rushed to entomb his remains before sundown, and they had to rush because this particular sundown marked the beginning of the Passover celebration, arguably Israel's most holy day. No one was thinking that his death had been a great victory or even a heroic martyrdom. His movement, which after all was composed of the poor, the sick, those who had been demon-possessed, and prostitutes, and unscrupulous men, was thought to have ended. Ultimately, in the eyes of many of the onlookers that day, nothing had changed. The injustices of Israel's religious leaders continued. Caesar Augustus remained on his throne, and death, as usual, had had the last word. Except this was not the case. El día que Jesús murió la horrible muerte de la cruz, muchos ese día pensaron que últimamente nada había cambiado, que las injusticias de los líderes religiosos de Israel continuaría, el emperador Augusto César permanecería en su trono, y la muerte, como usual, tuvo la última palabra, solo que esto no fue el caso. This was not the case. Oh, no, no, this was not the case. And you know, I was reminded of this just this past week. So my son Christian has a favorite book just about every week. And this week's favorite book is a book entitled The Very First Easter. And here's a picture of him. That's his book, The Very First Easter. And in his book, it paraphrases John chapter 14, verse 1. And here's how John says it. John said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is what Jesus told his disciples the night before he was arrested. But for the disciples, there was at least a great temptation to fear. There was a great temptation to fear, because if you were able to see a crucifixion today, it'd give you nightmares. You'd see images of half-alive people hanging for hours, perhaps even days, covered in blood, covered in flies, nibbled by rats, pecked by birds, all the while hearing the insults of passerbyers among the wailing of impotent loved ones unable to come to the aid of the victims. Kind of gives you a fresh perspective of what Jesus meant when he said, "This is my body and this is my blood, which is poured out for many." Pero sin embargo de lo difícil que fue la cruz, después, cuando los autores del Nuevo Testamento redactaron sus manuscritos, hablaron de la cruz de otra forma. But as difficult as the ordeal of the cross was, what we find is that when the authors of the New Testament compose their writings, they speak of the cross in a very different way. Oh yeah, think of Paul when he's writing to the Christians in the city of Galatia. He tells them in chapter 2, verse 20, Galatians, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The central image of this verse is the cross. Think of the Apostle John, John the wise, John the sage, John the old man, who after some 5 decades of gospel teaching, applies himself to pen down what is perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible. And he says it like this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life." In his junior year at the University of Florida, quarterback Tim Tebow, he tells a story in his book titled Shaken of how he came to wear John 3:16 in the eye black under his eyes. And so here's how it happened. He had worn Philippians 4:13 in the eye black under his eyes all season long. And then 2 nights before they were to play in the national championship, he approaches his coach, Coach Urban Meyer at the time. And he says, "Hey coach, do you know that verse I've been wearing under my eyes the entire season?" He says, yeah, absolutely. Philippians 4:13, yes. Tim Tebow says, "Well, I'm thinking about changing it." Coach Meyer said, "What?" Because if you don't know Coach Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow describes him like this very superstitious person. So if 1 week they won a game while wearing long socks, the following week they were going to be a little bit longer. And so this is how superstitious he was. And he was shocked that Tim Tebow, 2 nights before the national championship, would change the scripture underneath his eyes. Tim Tebow took him a couple of minutes to describe the reason why. But afterwards, Coach Meyer said, "I understand, Tim. You do what you got to do." They went on and they won the national championship. 2 nights later, Tim Tebow was at dinner with his parents and Coach Meyer. When Coach Meyer gets a phone call, he picks up the phone. He's a pretty intense guy. Okay, bye. Tim says, "Coach, what was that all about?" He says, "Tim, that was our public relations person. And what he said is that during the game, 94 million people, 94 million whosoevers Googled John 3:16. Tim Tebow just about fell out of his chair. Not necessarily because of the number of Googles, but he fell out of his chair because he said, "How do 94 million people not know John 3:16? But not after that day, because perhaps for the first time, 94 million people came face to face with these words that John penned so long ago. Let me tell you the beautiful thing about this whosoever. And let me tell you, I looked this up in the Greek, right? I went to the Greek text and I found it. And you're not going to believe this. Whosoever in the Greek, guess what it means? Whosoever. It means everybody. It means all. This is amazing. God's people come in all shapes and sizes, skin tones. Many of them don't even speak the same language. But the beautiful thing is, at the foot of the cross, all of these distinctions that people use to draw themselves apart are rendered powerless. Cuando Juan 3:16 dice, para todo aquel que en él crea, Juan quiere decir todos, cada uno, cada persona. El pueblo de Dios es compuesto de todos colores de piel, todas idiomas, ninguno es igual. Y lo hermoso es que en la cruz, enfrente de la cruz todo lo que las personas usan o utilizan para hacer sus distinciones entre clases de gente. Son hechas nada. We're about to take communion. Do you know what the focus of communion is? It's the cross. Because of the cross, we can come together to share communion in our common faith in Jesus Christ. Por causa de la cruz, ahora nosotros, aunque unos hablamos inglés y otros español, podemos compartir en estos elementos de Santa Cena por la fe en Jesucristo que nos une.